All right, well, hey, welcome again to another episode of TFLD Presents Let's Talk. So the first Mamba Mentality Part 1 series was me and Sergeant Lee and David. We talked about there's five pillars, you know, we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the second three. The first two we talked about was passion and obsession, you know. And before we get into the next three, which will be relentlessness, resilience, and fearlessness, I'll go ahead and have you introduce yourself.
Tech Sergeant Langley, work at the Med Group, IDMT, cool.
What does IDMT mean?
That's a good question. I like to say we're enlisted providers.
There you go.
We are extenders of medical providers when we deploy, and it stands for Independent Duty Medical Technician.
There you go, that's fancy. Yeah.
It is, they try to make it fancy.
No, but what you guys do is pretty cool though. I really like that job. And I like how we're gonna be able to use these concepts into this, specifically IDMTs, right, and how you guys can do that, and outside of the work center as well.
Well, when you brought it to my attention, I was like, my mentality, you know, you think sports automatically, mm-hmm. and then I was like, no, this can everybody's lives, right. Day in and day out.
So right.
I'm glad you asked me to come on today.
Of course, of course. So in the first episode, I talked about what the mama mentality meant to me. Overarching topic, right? You just hear mama mentality. What does that mean? So for me, it just means like a continuous pursuit of trying to be better. When you think about these five concepts, whether it's passion, obsession, you know, all those other ones, mm-hmm. When it encompasses everything, for me, it's just a constant pursuit of always trying to be better, not trying to be complacent. You know, it's so easy now to just like be complacent, be chill. Oh, it's COVID. I don't have to go to that meeting. I could zoom in, but really, am I really going to zoom in? You know, it's like things like that. You know, it's easy to be complacent, but with the mama mentality, I feel like you have to continually push yourself to get better.
Well, in that aspect, you are pushing yourself because everybody goes to work every day. You have to.
That's true.
But are you going to work and doing your best? Mm-hmm. And I like what his passion, it still gave me chills. He was like, he knew when he was 6 years old that he loved the smell of a basketball, mm-hmm. or hearing the sound of a swoosh.
Yeah. Or the shoe squeaking.
It's like, it was like hearing that stuff. It's like, man, you knew at six. Like, I was thinking I wanted to be rich, right. A millionaire. Like,
right.
I didn't know I wanted to be in the military or medical.
Sure.
So, like, for him to know that then, it's like, gosh, that's. But, like, how can we relate that today? Like, how can you find passion in what you're doing every day? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's the key in trying to relay that to your peers,
yeah,
or 100%. Even your supporter. Yeah.
100%. And then also in that episode, we talked about how sometimes people don't find that passion too.
That's,
you know,
yeah.
and that's hard, but it also meshes so well with like relentlessness, right? And so that'll be the first topic I want to get into is relentlessness. So with relentlessness, you know, Kobe likes to talk about how it's like it's being unyielding, right? It's like never withering. Like if something were to happen to you, you take it for what it is and you continue to push forward. So as an IDMT or as just, you know, Stefan Langley, where have you used this concept of relentlessness, and where do you see it so applicable outside of the sports realm?
So, before I became an IDMT, I was like a 4N. It's just a medical technician. And then when I went to school, my relentlessness was that I did not want to fail.
Yeah.
Like, I could not fail that course. And before I even go to the course, everyone's like, hey, this is a high fail rate. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to study. So, like, from the jump, before I even became an IDMT, it was like, yo, I cannot go back to my duty station and say, you know, I failed this course. So that was already my relentlessness with it. And even today, it's changed. It always changes, right? My relentlessness to make sure my section is growing, getting better. Because again, I was watching that video and I was like, man, this pertains every day and we just don't realize it. It's almost like mama mentality. Everyone's probably gonna watch this and be like, oh, it's sports. And it's
right.
Like, nah. It's every day,
right?
You know?
Right. And wait, before you mention, so I know you mentioned the video. For people who didn't know what the video was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Kobe did like this TED talk in Shanghai,
right?
And it was like him, and then he had a co-host as well. And the co-host was talking about these five pillars with Kobe, and Kobe would broke down, you know, each pillar, and he talked about his experiences with them.
Right.
I like
he went
how
all the way from childhood too. Like,
oh, dude, they go back.
He was deep with it. I mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. impressed.
Yeah.
And then watching it now and like knowing what happened earlier this year, it's like, it was rough, you know?
Yep. So that's how I found the video.
Right.
So when it happened, I went on this like 3-week Kobe interview binge, right? And then I just started going in and just like understanding this guy on a deeper level, right? And then I was just like, yo, this needs to be put out to people. This is not like, this is selfish of me to have all this and not be able to supply it to everybody.
Cause like normally we know today and like the tragedy and like, at the end of like in the interview, he was talking about his last game and how his family was there, and he was accepting of it. He wasn't like, I still want to play ball. He said he had accomplished that. He was ready to give to others and like spread that knowledge and write books. You know, it was just like, man, it gives me chills.
That's
now.
That relentlessness, though, right?
Because
like he had that basketball career, right? Now what do you do after you retire? And it goes for people too in this wearing this uniform, right?
Right.
Like we don't chase stripes, but we earn these stripes. We do what we can to promote. Right, all of a sudden you gotta punch the clock, you know, it's your time to go.
And is it over? No, it's not.
Boom.
And that's where I'm even at right now with, I've been in 15 years and trying to grow as an individual. And at some point you plateau, you think you're plateauing, but no, you spread that knowledge to younger airmen. Like the generational gaps is a real thing. So it's like trying to speak to them and not giving up, like, gosh, man, this airman's really struggling. Like, being relentless to be like, I'm not giving up. Right. I'm not giving up on you. Because a lot of times you probably will go into work one day and just like, I'm done. I even told my supervisor the other day, I was like, when I come in and you see that I'm not motivated, then you need to give me time off.
Sure.
But if my motivation's gone, if I continue to be motivated, then we're good. Everything's good. She was like, oh, okay.
But you have that awareness piece, though.
And that's, a lot of people don't have that.
Sometimes people might not have that. They just like, one day they just wake up and just like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know, I just lost it. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody the other day about losing their motivation. It's like, maybe you just need that time or that separation. COVID does that to you too. Mm-hmm. You get into a point where it's just mundane daily activities.
Sure, and that's where that relentlessness comes into peace.
Yeah.
You know, because we have to find what it is that pushes us and how to get past that barrier. And when we talk about relentlessness, Kobe likes to bring up how different events will occur, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, right? But you use these events as fuel to pursue something greater, right? So when I teach like resilience, like the MRT, RTA, or Resilience Training Assistant Program, we talk about reframing events. Right, so this is kind of what Kobe was talking about, how you could take a bad event that happened to you, you know, oh, I missed that promotion, oh, I didn't make that stripe, you know, oh, you know, I got drunk driving, you know what I mean, like I got pulled over, da-da-da, something bad happened to you, but now, instead of dwelling on this and just looking at it as a negative event, use that as fuel to pursue something greater, you know, and that's where relentlessness comes into peace, right, because it's easy just to be like, well, it happened, woe is me, you know what I mean, like, I'm done, you know, I'm not gonna wear this uniform no more, blah, blah, blah.
It's so easy to do that.
It's easy to be in that ethical trap, really, you know, that cognitive trap where you're just like, oh, it's over, you know. And then I'm sure when one bad thing happens, you find another bad thing happens on top of it, you know, and when it rains, it pours, all of a sudden, you know, like.
Everything
goes, you know, and that's it. So relentlessness is using that that event, you know, to push you to something greater.
Well, speaking on that, I got in trouble one time, and my supervisor, like, they gave me the punishment or whatever, and we had an event, like, the next morning or next day where it was like, hey, you can come, we have some members coming back from deployment, we asked if you can show up, you can, you don't have to, and there, I showed up, I went to it, I was like, my thing is not a thing, like, I was there with a smile on my face, didn't feel any resentment towards them, which is naturally sometimes you want to do. And I was putting it on the back burner. I think a lot of it was that I knew I was on the right track, right? I knew that was like something that occurred, but I knew it shouldn't keep me from growing or give up. Mm-hmm. And you know what they said to me the next day? They literally came to me is like, when you showed up to that event, that changed my whole mindset of you because you didn't let that keep you down. Mm-hmm. He's like, you didn't let that affect you. And he's like, that told me a lot about your character. So just like that relentlessness to be like, you know what? Yeah, I got in trouble, but that's not the end of the world. I'm still gonna be there for my people. I'm still gonna show face. Like, like you're not affecting me. But
that's dope, man.
It was
that's pretty cool.
When they came to me and told me that, I was like, that's awesome. Like,
it's humbling.
Yeah, because I was just like, I appreciate that. I was like, that's just who I am. So the fact that they acknowledged it or was aware of it would said a lot to me about them as well. Like, they weren't holding it against me.
Yeah, that's dope. And that really goes hand in hand with the next concept, which is resilience.
Yeah.
Right? So like, with resilience, you know, you found yourself going through a hard time. You know, you got yourself in trouble. You know, however that happened, right? But it was your mindset that you were like, I'm just going to show up to this thing. I'm going to do me. I'm not going to let that stop me, right? And that by then you doing that, that's you being resilient and not just bearing on that bad news.
Right, right.
So how would you see this concept being applied, you know, to people who are like maybe spouses or, you know, like if you're maybe doing it with parenting or something like that? Where could you see like this concept, you know, outside of the sports realm and into people's personal lives?
Well, personal lives, I think this stuff is, I mean, I'm relentless and resilience, I feel like it kind of goes hand. Because you have to be resilient and then you have to be, you can't give up. Like, you can't give up, but you're giving, not giving up is relentless.
Sure.
But you're also resilient at the same time. So it's like it goes hand in hand. So like as a parent, you know, I'm a parent and my son, at some point, you want to be like, gosh, dog it, like, just go to college already and, like, be done with it. Like, you know, like, get out the house, or, you know, you want to call the dad, or, you know, like, somebody take this kid. And it's like, no, don't give up. I mean, it's easy to say, right? Sometimes you lose it, and you just want to, like, take a break. But take that break and then go back at it and just, like, sit down with them, do that math homework, right? Every parent knows, like, sitting down with your kid and trying to do 5 times 5, you're like, okay, like, let's count it out. And they're just like, I don't get it. You're just like, whoa, boy.
Yeah, I know. It'd be like that, though.
It'd be like that, yeah. And you have to understand, like, they're learning. Like, they'll get it. Just don't give up.
Yeah.
But again, it's easy for everybody to say. You have to want to do it, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't apply to just work at home. Like, being resilient to understand your husband ain't going to wash dishes every day. You want him to?
Yeah, you gotta do it.
You
it's
want
one
him
of those things.
One of those things. Like, do I just accept it or do I just say, hey, you know, it's your turn?
Yeah. So I remember I was doing this this seminar, I think it was 2 months ago. It was the lunch breaker. Right? And then I hit him with the question that I like to ask. It's not a question, it's a statement. There are no bad teams, just bad leaders, right? And so we had the room split up in two, you know, agree, disagree. I love doing this because people go back and forth, right? And so there was this guy that was saying that, you know, no, you just have a bad team.
Oh, right? I remember that answer.
You remember that?
Oh, man, and that hit me deep.
It did, right? Because he was talking about, like, yeah, like, I coach kids, and, you know, sometimes they're just not a good team. You know, they're just unathletic. We don't win championships. Yeah. We lose, right?
He was like, the other team, they're just maybe athletically better. My guys, I'm not a bad coach. They just don't have the qualities. They don't have the ability.
Exactly. And this speaks so much to resilience, you know, because with that, it's easy to say that you just have a losing squad, you have bad team members, or, you know, like, your team is just ungifted, unathletic, all this kind of stuff, right? Like, oh, I was just dealt a crappy hand.
Yeah.
Like, my team sucks.
Yeah.
Right? But then you're looking at that from the perspective of, like, we're not going to win games, we're not going to win championships. Right, and then somebody on the other side of the room was like, well, why don't you just change what your goal is going to be?
Right.
Right. Instead of you trying to win games, why don't you just try to score one touchdown? Why don't you try to get like 2 first downs in a game or something? Right. Change the perspective. Right. Because then that'll help you get to winning a game. And so when it comes to resilience, it's like setting those small goals, you know?
Small goals.
These small goals and small victories and understanding that this leads to a bigger picture.
Well, and even his small goal could be, if his mindset truly is, my guys aren't as athletic, and that's fine, right? Like, you know, you have, you know, AAA, I don't know, whatever, to tiers of levels of kids and students. But just saying, like, your personal goal can be like, let me get through to this one kid. Like, let me see if he can hit this block, or he can just run for 5 yards in one game. Like, maybe you can get through to one. Maybe you won't get through to all 32 or however many kids you have, but maybe your personal goal would be like, let me motivate this kid. Because a lot of these kids, they come from backgrounds you don't even realize.
100%.
And, oh, speaking on that, just small goal. I have an MTL friend. He's at some station, MTL. And this kid was like, hey, I have some financial concerns. He's like, well, what's going on with your concern? And prior to that, as an MTL, I was like, how is it? He's like, it is rough. There's like 4 weeks of where it's like, man, you're really trying to get through these kids, and there's 2 weeks where they're getting it, and you feel rewarded, and you're like, this is what I'm here to do.
It's crazy.
And it was this one of these moments in this class, and he told me about it, and I was like, man, that's awesome. It was his own small goal, like getting through to people. And this kid was using his money to buy clothes every day. Undergarments every day because he didn't know how to wash his clothes.
Oh my gosh.
So he came from like this crazy background, didn't understand how to do that. And instead of asking, or instead of like trying to get guidance or YouTube or anything, like in his mind, that was his solution, right? He found this solution because he didn't know how.
Wow.
And that was his first time being on his own.
That's crazy.
So his rewarding moment is like, you know what? All right, let's teach you how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's unfortunate for that kid, but it's cool for that MTL to be like, you know, let me teach you. He could have been like, are you kidding me? Like, and you know, got on him or like,
sure,
whatever. But
that's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. Like that was his small goal personally to like, let me get through to somebody or everybody if you can, but everybody has different background. Everybody, you don't know what people are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah. So for as an MTL perspective, that's his team.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, not everybody's Sharp Airman or BTC below the zone.
Right.
But
I see that too with like spouses out here, especially being overseas, right?
Right.
That aren't civilian spouses, because a lot of them they don't find jobs. Jobs are really hard to come by here.
It
you
is.
Know?
Yeah.
And they look at it and they come over here with like degrees and all sorts of certifications that they had stateside. You know, they give all that up, you know, to come here and, you know, and to support and to be a part of this mission. And for them, it's like really hard to, at least I would say it would be really hard to, you know, to kind of take the back seat a little bit, right? Because you get here and then like everything changes, you know, language barriers, you know, jobs on base are, you know, extremely competitive. And so small victories, you know, I've seen a lot of home businesses being made, you know, people doing massages, people cooking food, making candles. You know, you name it, you know, this is one small victory to a bigger purpose, you know, and it's just one way for you to be resilient. It's easy to be in a trap and be like, well, I'm unemployed, you know, Netflix, here we come, Bachelor, here we come. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you're right.
It's easy to get into that, you know, and I would understand it, but at the same time, you know, to be resilient, to bounce back from something like that, right? Let's just start off with something small, you know, let's put something together and we'll sell that, you know, to the people, you know, make home cooked meals, whatever that is, whatever you're good at, your bubble,
right?
The bubble that you dance perfectly in, you know, whatever you're good at, you know, do that to your best ability. And that's how you can bounce back from a certain situation.
No, speaking on that bubble. Yeah. If y'all aren't aware, he said this one quote
the bubble.
And yeah, it hit me. And he said, dance beautifully in the box that you are comfortable dancing in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're speaking truly on that, right? Like if you feel comfortable, photography, right? Mm-hmm. Photography is your thing. Like you are.
Thank you.
I see your comment. People are like, man, you like me to do this professionally.
Thank
you. But that's your bubble, right? Like if you were not in the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would find a way to advance on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kobe's saying. Like you don't have to be the best basketball player of all time, the GOAT, right? They always challenge him with that question. And even towards the end of his career, he's like, I don't need to be the GOAT. How can I make these kids on my team better?
Right.
How can I make kids in the world better? You know, how can I spread that knowledge of my gift, right? And it brings it to the military even at home, right? How can I be a great spouse to my husband? Or how can I be a great kid to my mom and dad, you know? Or make them proud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, keep staying in your circle. Like you don't have to worry about everybody else.
Yeah.
Like stay in your own bubble.
I love that. I love that because it's so true, right? Stay, you know, dance perfectly in your bubble and perfect it. Make it as beautiful as you can be.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all about like comparing my bubble to your bubble.
And that's
right?
What like, Facebook does.
And 100%. Not 100%. Even Facebook. Social media,
media
in general.
Social media.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you could also call it, you know, like EPRs and you know promotion systems, right? Like I see people doing certain things and be like, well, do I got to do that in order to get promoted too? You know, and you find yourself in these like comparative traps, right? And what Kobe is talking about in this resilience piece, in this bubble, right, is do you and dance beautifully in that, right? Be you and be authentically you and use that to, you know, progress in time.
Right.
Right. You don't have to do what I'm doing just because it looks, you know, because that's what I'm doing, right?
Right.
It's like dance beautifully in what you're doing because nobody could do you better than you. I, like, you could try to be me, Well, that'd be harder because, you know, we are two different people, you know, with different skill sets, characteristics, and whatnot.
Well, and that's why a couple of years ago, that's what the military was having us do.
Right.
You need to volunteer. You need to do this. And people were volunteering, doing stuff they didn't even want to do. And I was always like, I want to do something I want to do. Like, I don't want to volunteer because it's going to give me a strike. Because then I won't give my all. I won't have the mama mentality of trying to grow. Because then I'm doing something that I have no passion to do.
Sure.
So it's like, the dance beautifully, I was like, man, that was a good quote.
And I think it's something that we could always live by, is just be authentic.
Stay true to you.
Stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to do anything, you know. You know, you can try different things to see if that's who you are, you know, but you don't have to pursue, you know, inauthenticity to progress, you know, especially in the military. You can.
Oh, you got to be the president.
There you go.
The 5-6 club. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you don't. Like, if you don't want to be the president, don't be the president. Find something else you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for that program, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Imagine, like, you're that president. You don't want to be that president. All of a sudden, you're in charge of everybody.
Yeah.
And you don't even want to do it, you know?
You just want the bullet.
It's like,
nah, dance in your bubble. Yeah, no, that speaks volumes for sure.
It does speak volumes.
Yeah.
I like, too, how you mentioned how Kobe was, you know, that the GOAT talk, greatest of all time
talk,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
but we do have no GOAT.
So that's what I wanted to bring attention to, right? I wanted to bring attention to the two jerseys, right? Because we do have the comparisons here, you know, the Michael Jordan and the Kobe Bryant. And people like to do this all the time, you know, they rack and stack, you know, if you will, you know, like, oh, Kobe, da 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 da, right? What I like, though, in regards to the Kobe jerseys, is Kobe has two numbers, right? You know, he has the number 8, plus he has 24. And for me, when I see the two numbers, and you know the statistics are pretty much, you know, pretty much the same, right? I like number 8. Number 8 is the one I have tatted on my leg, right?
Oh,
this,
for real?
This is Frobe.
Yeah,
right? This is
Frobe.
This is Frobe.
360 dunks in the
Frobe
game.
Frobe was a killer.
He was
right?
A killer.
Frobe was the killer. He was coming out. Kobe talks about a kill list. He had people. He would write down the names of, all right, whenever I play them, I'm dominating them, right?
Yeah.
He had a kill list. And every time he'd go up the list, he'd cross the name out, who's next, blah, 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 right? And so on his number 8 tour, you know, as he was number 8, he was just trying to get to the top, right? Trying to get that head honcho.
Right.
24, right? It's not about this list anymore. It's about how can I bring people up with me.
Right.
Right? So that's when he starts talking to the younger generation, getting his team on board. That's when Shaq left. That's when he had to figure out how to be this leader without, you know, the big alpha to help him out. This is when Kobe had to transition from just, you know, talking heads to bringing people with him,
right?
You know, and that transition piece, and that's what I love about having two jerseys. It has that signal, that, you know, that symbolism of him changing his perspective and trying to become a leader versus him just getting out there doing it.
Yeah. Well, I do, and that's what makes me think, like, did he come up with these after that, right? Because you know, he probably been hit with that question since he joined the league. And
what question?
It's just like, are you trying to be like Michael? Because he did resemble, you know, he did resemble a lot of his
100%.
100%. And I'm sure all throughout his early on his career, constantly being compared. So then it's like, then he was probably at one point, he's like, I'm not worried about MJ. I'm worried about me. Like, I want to do what's best for me, or what can I do?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's just speaks on his growth throughout his career.
Right.
Michael Jordan's still the best, though.
When Kobe comes out with a documentary, trust me, we're gonna be like, oh wait, Kobe.
No. So I look at Kobe's stuff, like the tributes and all that stuff, and I'm like, man, this dude was bad. He is. And I honestly can say, like, I know you're a LeBron, people will probably start turning off after this, but like, MJ is great, right? I grew up watching him. Kobe is great. He is great. But no, I don't think anyone has this mama mentality like they do. Like, they had that killer instinct. Nobody's killing like that today.
It's a different generation. Different generation.
And it's like, I wonder if I respect that because, like, I grew up watching that, because I did. Like, you would see Kobe and he's like, or you hear documentaries of Michael Jordan, like the Pistons, where he was like, no, I'm going out there. Or like, they had a rule to just foul Michael Jordan. Like,
Jordan rule.
Yeah, but now it's like, oh, you know, flop all day, or you know, so that mentality is just
unwithering.
Like, gosh,
and
that's what I respect so much about Kobe. Like,
yeah,
he was just like, just nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Relentless. Which also goes into the next concept, right? Which is fearlessness.
Fearlessness.
Right? Because we talk about the Jordan rule, talking about how the Pistons were just gonna hit him as soon as he hits the paint. Right? MJ takes off, you need to hit him.
Yes.
That was the Jordan rule. As soon as he leaves the ground, there's gonna be an elbow or something, right?
And he kept going.
Right, and he kept going. That's how they won the chip. You know, but at the same time, that's fearlessness. Right, so when we talk about fearlessness and this concept of being in the Mamba mentality, it's a hard one to grasp, especially wearing this uniform, right? Because there's so many different type of variables or barriers. That's the word. There's so many types of barriers that are in our way, whether it's like rank barriers, whether you don't want to be seen as like the standout person within your work center.
All right, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Toxic, or the work environment.
Work environment
you're in can already get you to a point where you don't want to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or a toxic leader, it's like, man, I don't feel like going to their office and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you have to have that fearlessness to know, like, let me stay in my bubble.
Yeah.
Let me not be afraid and understand that maybe they have something going on. Maybe my positivity or can help someone else near me.
Yeah.
So it does take fearlessness, and it's just not giving up. Relentless. You got to be relentless and understand, like, you do have a toxic leader, but if you continue on your track, maybe you can affect that toxic leader.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, don't be afraid to voice your opinion.
Yeah.
Which I think we are lucky in Air Force to voice our opinion. Like the Army, you can't voice your opinion. I'm not trying to throw jabs, but they, you know, there's certain branches where it is a way, and Air Force kind of, they give you a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome. I think we should take advantage of it. I don't think we take advantage of it enough. But if you do it tactfully, you can voice your opinion.
Yeah.
But you have to be fearless, like, to voice that opinion.
Yeah.
Because even in my section, I know someone there like, man, I have a lot of concerns I don't want to bring up, but I don't have a solution, or I don't know how to bring it up. And I was like, just tell me. Like, how am I supposed to know what the issues are if you don't bring it to my attention? Like, don't be afraid. Like, let's work on it together.
Yep.
But it's like, why, like, is the environment that way where he just is afraid to speak his voice, you
mm-hmm.
know?
So like, when Kobe was talking about this, he brought up that who made the quote, though. It was just like, you know, our greatest fear is ourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And he brought that, you know, he brought that to attention. Like, we fear, the biggest thing we fear is ourself, and whether that's the fear of being, like, rejection, failure, you know, whatever it is that it, you know, whatever it is that you're afraid of that, and that's what brings you fear, you know, like, being afraid of ourself, and
right.
the letdown, and the rejection, and that kind of stuff. And I see this so often, and it sucks, right, because, like, some people, they feel like they're trapped in this work center where it's just like, man, I can't go and leave, they're denying me, I can't speak up for myself, you know, but they're afraid to say something. They're afraid to go to somebody, you know, or they just go along with everything else, right? And then all of a sudden, they're just enabling this environment. They're just being a part of the problem rather than being part of the solution, you know? And when we take all these concepts in, right, whether it's toxic leadership, whether it's resilience, you know, dancing in our bubble, you know, when we teach this toxic leadership, you know, be the change you want to see, you know, like, be, like, live that, you know what I mean? So when we're going and being fearless, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to stand up and speak up and say something.
Right.
Right? But, I mean, control what you can control. You know, so control yourself first. You know, once you get a handle, like, okay, I won't do that because they're doing it. Maybe, I'll stand up for myself. You know, small victories. You don't have to go to the commander, hey, commander, you know, I see this toxic environment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
We're talking small victories. Let me talk to my supervisor. Let me talk to his peer. Who am I comfortable with, right?
Right.
Once I get them, like, I talk to them, all right, cool, I feel a little bit better about this. And if they want to talk about that, then they can too, you know? You have to look at it as those small victories and not always just going after the headshot.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The goal is the headshot. You know, the goal is to change this whole culture, this whole environment, right? But you got to do it, you know, one day at a time.
I think you're naturally want to tackle a mountain, right? I think everyone's initial is like, this is the problem and I need to stop it now, you know? Because we have an issue in our sector right now, and you know, you see the problem and it was like, it looks overwhelming. You're just like, holy cow. And I see like everyone in my section is like, how are we going to do this? And I was like, okay, we know we have this huge mountain. We have to go step by step. Like, It's not going to be done today. It ain't going to be done next week. It might be done in 2 or 3 months. You have to understand that and just go small victories. Like, mm-hmm. it really goes a long way, and eventually you'll get there and be like, yo, here we are. And I didn't stress myself out over
right. Like, we made it.
We made it. Because, again, like, if you are in a toxic environment or an issue or situation where you just feel like you can't get out of, mm-hmm. it is those little things that will help you feel successful. And it'll keep you going. It'll sure. help you stay relentless
sure.
if you accomplish this one little thing, right? Like, I don't know, just saying good morning to that toxic leader. Yeah. It's like, good morning. Dang, oh, I'm supposed to be ruining your day today. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But nah, not like that. But again, it's just that little thing could probably just spread across the section, you know? Mm-hmm. It really does help. Like, bringing brownies or something. That's a small goal. Like,
brownies?
Yeah, let me bring some brownies today for everybody. And they're like, man, this person's so nice. It's a great day.
There you go. Know? Maybe baking is your bubble.
That's your bubble.
And that's what you dance beautifully like, in, hey, right? You're chefing it up.
Chefing it up.
Let me do a little something about it, you know? Yeah, that's true.
It does. I mean, it brings up morale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times somebody bring donuts in your section. You're like, yo,
yeah.
it's a good day. You're 25. Yeah. How many donuts can you eat in a day, though, by the way? Or in a section?
I mean, Krispy Kreme donuts.
Krispy Kreme
donuts.
That's,
you know, that's another video. that's besides the point.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know, back on the topic of fearlessness, right? And I love this so much because it's so relevant in anything, you know, especially right now when we talk about the fear of failing. I think Chief Wright, you know, our previous enlisted Jesus, he was the one that kind of keyed the phrase, you know, failing forward, right? Not being afraid to fail, because you know, a lot of us, the way we learn is through failures, you know, like we want to change processes all the time in the military, right? We want to learn how to make things better, mm-hmm. right? But you can't let that fear stop you from trying something new, trying new ways of doing things, right? So now, if you get that fear out of the way, you know, you're only going to learn new ways of doing things. Whether they're the wrong ways, you're going to learn how not to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And getting past that barrier of fear, you know, you'll just progress and you'll be, you know, you'll be more diverse. You know, you'll learn different things. You know, you'll try different avenues, and it can only help you grow. But you just gotta get past that barrier.
I think it's easy to say, but the biggest one is fear of failure.
Mm.
I mean, that's his fearlessness, right? Like, I think if you overcome the fear of failure, you'll overcome. I mean, it's just that's the biggest one. It's hard though, because you don't want to fail your supervisor or your spouse.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to fail your mom. You fail your mom or dad. I still deal with that today. I'm like 34 years old, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I don't want to disappoint my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But that fear, right? The fear to disappoint her. But does that strive me? Does that make me better? Does that make me the best me? So I'm not, because sure. I am afraid.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know.
Having a little bit of fear is good, you know, it keeps right. you humble, it keeps you, you know, on your toes, because you're like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't, it keeps you cautious, but at the same time, it shouldn't let you, you know, it shouldn't stop you from doing things.
Right.
Right. You remember Coach Carter?
Yeah, Samuel.
Coach Carter, right? Yeah, and he'd be like, what is your deepest fear, Mr. Cruz? You know, he was talking, you know, and then, you know, it took him, he's like, what are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? Da-da-da-da-da. And then finally, it's like, our deepest fear is, you know, it's not that we are inadequate, it's that we are powerful beyond human measure. Well, you know, the whole quote, and then he goes down, right? And it took him forever to understand what he was trying to get him to see, right? And Cruz was, you know, he was so afraid of being looked at as, you know, not the gangster that, you know, his family is. And Cruz had all these different barriers in his life, right? But as soon as he knocked those down, he became a part of the team. He was a part of something bigger than just gangs and all this kind of, that lifestyle that they would live, right? Because Coach Carter, he was trying to get those boys out of that environment and into this team environment where they can count on each other in a brotherhood outside of gangs, right? Cruz was always so hesitant about it because gangs was all he knew. This was his family, you know? And so once Cruz was able to let down that fear, letting those people down and being a part of something different, they were able to grow as a team, right?
Yeah, so watch that movie again.
Dude, it's deep.
Did you see it recently or something?
No, well, I saw a little bit of it. And then I remember seeing it, I was like 13 or 12, and I wanted to get that tattooed on me somewhere. But I haven't done it, but I just remember the thing. I was like, yo, that quote is so hard.
That is hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. But I love it because, you know, using these principles, whether it's relentlessness, resilience, or fearlessness, this is something that we could use anywhere, right? And it's all about how we look at it. So what would you say would help somebody, you know, going through day-to-day life with these concepts? They're not aware of these concepts. How do you become more aware of these things and of these situations? And how can you use that? What do you think?
Well, I think initially the best way to be aware of it is just write it down somewhere. I think just seeing it every day, and then it becomes a part of your life.
Okay.
Because like I still look down and I'm like trying to remember them, right?
Because
the passion and obsession, right? I already naturally have passion for things to make things grow, but I wouldn't think to be obsessed about it, or I wouldn't think to be relentless or resilient.
Sure.
Like I would have to be like, no, oh snap, this is on my mirror. I need to be like, no, don't give up, don't stop. I think just incorporating them in your day to day, you have to see it every day.
Yeah.
Until it's just embedded in your mind. Like it was in Kobe's mind from the jump. He wrote these down because he lived it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy for him to spit it out. So if someone's trying to come on board to this mama mentality, some of them they're probably already doing, right? They're probably not afraid, or they have a passion to be a chief or be the best wife or a husband.
Right.
And they just don't realize, like, if they just incorporate these other things, they'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, these things, just everyday life. Like, I was just like watching this stuff and like, man, like, this doesn't apply to just sports.
Right.
And someone would be like, mama mentality, Kobe, like, oh, all right. I don't want to be in the NBA. I don't need to watch this video. And it's like, no, watch it. It will change your life.
Yeah.
I don't want to take big, like, change your life. But
I mean, it changes your perspective.
It can change your perspective.
It changes your perspective.
I like that.
And that's like the goal of TFLD, or Total Force Leadership Development, in general, right?
I love
like,
TFLD.
Like, our program is built on changing your perspective. It's not about incorporating a checklist of principles,
right?
We're not going to give you a checklist to go through. Like, oh, how do I become a better leader? You got to say good morning. You got to bring donuts. You got to bake brownies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
We're not going to give you this checklist that you got to follow. We're going to give you a new way of thinking about things. Whether that's, you know, whether you're more self-aware of your emotions, whether you're aware of other people's emotions, you know, whether you're in a toxic environment, whether you are the toxic environment, you know, we're going to give you different avenues of thinking. And that's what this whole mama mentality thing was about, right? Is breaking down the concepts, breaking down Kobe's mindset. And it's not just about basketball, right? It's not just about leadership. This is about, like, development, people development, personal development, you know? And it goes beyond, you know, just the court. It goes beyond just, you know, shooting basketball and all this kind of stuff, you know? Everything has a bigger purpose.
I mean, so ultimately, you just want to make sure... We need to make sure people are aware.
Yeah.
They can have that self-awareness, then they can really go far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we go back to that coach in the classroom, right? The one you taught, like, is he truly aware now? Like, is he like, you know what? That's good. Like, I can change my perspective on my team. I mean, it's a good course if anybody's not familiar.
Winning with people. That's what it was. I think it was the winning with people. That's why I brought it up, right? Because we talk about winning with people,
right?
And then we talk about bad teams or bad leaders.
Yeah,
right.
Was a good
and
one.
So I think, yeah. I mean, maybe he. I didn't want to go too deep into it. You know, we only had 10 minutes, but it's a topic for discussion. You know, no teams or no bad teams, just bad leaders. But did you have any closing remarks in regards to the topics that we discussed today?
Dance beautifully, like. That one, I think, can really resonate amongst everyone watching this video. It's like, that one kind of like, every time I read it, it gives me chills. It's like, just stay in your bubble. Mm-hmm. And it just speaks volumes with what we're dealing with social media.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to see someone's profile and be like, oh, they just took family photos. Like, they're a really happy family. And it's like, it's really not true. Like, I had a friend tell me, she was like visiting her friend, and she was like, I saw her post something, and 5 minutes ago, she was just yelling at her kids, like, what the hell? She's like, oh, I love my baby so much, they're coloring. And she was just like,
oh my gosh.
It just really, like, opened her mind. It's like, man, it's fake out there.
It is.
Or people will take a picture, hold it for a couple weeks, and then it looks like you've been traveling every weekend.
Oh.
People do that, and it's like, so it's like, don't put yourself in that lifestyle or that... Compare yourself, like, stay in your own bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. Like, if you don't take anything, dance beautifully in the box that you're comfortable dancing in. So So I like that one.
Yeah, that's dope.
Like if I want to be, my personal goal is to be, just stay a master sergeant. Like let me focus on that for myself. Don't, oh man, they're a senior. I need to be a senior. Mm. If that's what I want, that's my personal goal, then do that. Another one is like, what is it you want to do? Mm. What is it you're comfortable accomplishing in your life? So we have these pillars, but do you even know what you want to accomplish? Have you even thought about what your own personal goal is, or what you are satisfied with before you retire, or what you are satisfied with your small career? Like, let's say you're doing 4 years. What's your goal? What are you happy with when you check out? You know,
right.
Or when you go to work, maybe that's a small goal, right? Like, today I'm gonna get through to such and such, or I'm gonna finally talk to such and such.
Right.
Like having those small goals and just thinking about what it is that will make you happy.
Yeah.
I think
that's dope.
Yeah.
For me, like my favorite part was like the small victories, and also the relentlessness, right? Being unwithering, unyielding, right? Like getting back up, even though like this year, for example, perfect year to talk about resilience. So much is going on, right?
Yeah.
So many things we could talk about. So many events have taken place, right? But it's just like being there and just taking small victories at a time, right? Is understanding, it was a crappy year. It started going down, but for now, we just got to continue to go up, you know? And it just pays so many dividends, because you can't just look at the overarching topic, oh man, I can't believe we got to get this far. You know, we just got to continue to get better day by day.
Right.
And take it one day at a time. And that's where I like mindfulness too, because we can talk about what we need to accomplish so much, and we talk about our goals. It could stress you out.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about it, and all of a sudden it's just adding on stress. And I can't believe I got to do this task, and I only got 2 months to do it or whatever. Right? Just be present in the moment. Understand that this is what you have to do, and take it one day at a time. You know, don't let that encompass you, and don't let that overtake you.
The small goals. Because I do see people, they're like, I want to do this, and then something gets added on, and they start getting stressed, or start getting overwhelmed. Sometimes they're like, hold on, all right, what can you do right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
you know where I see that right now?
Where?
Weight gain. So during quarantine, during COVID, people have, obviously, they have, and they voice their concern. They're like, look, this is that quarantine weight, you know, this is that quarantine cushion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I put on a little something, right? And then they talk about, like, I got to lose 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden they're doing, like, crazy, like, keto diets. They're like intermittent fasting for, like, a whole day or something. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
They're just trying to get there as soon as possible.
Because they want it now.
Because they need those results now, right? Like, I need to lose 30 pounds by next month.
I mean, it's a lifestyle they put us in today, though. I want that new phone.
But
I want it now. I want
it
now. Yeah. Amazon Prime did that.
That's how you get so encompassed in it, though. You know what I'm saying? That mentality is like, I need this now. You know what I'm saying? Small victories. You know, hey, like, let's just hit like 2 pounds in a week or something, right? Let's just cut out sodas first. Let's cut out some simple sugars after that, right? And then, you know, let's stop eating at 7 p.m. or something. Whatever your goal is, just continuously get that. And don't look at the 30 pounds and weigh yourself every morning and be like, okay, oh, I gained 1 pound more or yesterday?
All right,
here we go. Now I can't eat, you know, I skipped 2 meals. You know what I'm saying? So that's just one concept, but just taking that one thing at a time and getting better progressively.
Yeah, initially you would see that amount of like, dang, I need 30 pounds to lose.
Right.
And initially you're already like, all right, how can I do it right now?
Mm-hmm.
I need it by in 2 weeks because I'm going on a cruise.
Exactly.
And you're just like, no, that's not going to happen. Let's be realistic goals at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The SMART rule.
SMART goals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
SMART goals.
It's all coming back in circle.
There we go,
you know what
I'm saying? No doubt. Right on, man. So thank you, obviously, for taking the time and being a part of this this episode. Helping me set up and all this kind of stuff. This is dope. Like the reason why I wanted to do this is just to get Kobe's message out there, you know, and hit his legacy goes past the basketball court. He's more than just, you know, a Laker hero, or he's more than that, right? I wanted to shed light on his cognitive brilliance and how we can apply this, you know, outside of sports and all that kind of stuff.
No, thank you for having me on board, because I guess I wasn't really in tune with the mom mentality. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was always like, just don't give up. Kobe's a killer.
Right.
But it's more, like you said, it's definitely more to it. So I appreciate you bringing this to my attention, opening it up to me. So Hopefully we do more of these. Good luck to you at your next duty station.
Yeah, so as I PCS, you know, going on to bigger and better things, the program will continue to run. And hopefully, you know, we continue stuff like this because I feel like it's a good forum for people, you know, to get something that, you know, whether they can't make it to a seminar or TFLE seminar or something like that. So
I like the Let's Talk, like bringing on some guest speakers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to definitely keep that in honor of your name.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
No, that's awesome. Again, thank you.
No problem. Well, hey, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening, for taking the time out. If you want, you could find us on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube. But yeah, man, that's all I got for today.
Thanks, man.
Sweet. I don't think that was an hour.